Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No one's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen from my studio apartment, and there is no intro for today's podcast because, now if you're one of our Patreon backers, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. If you're one of our Patreon backers and you listen to our WrestleMania 26 review, you will have heard the story of how the first 40 minutes of it are a bit garbled. Not garbled, but like it's not the smoothest running thing. And that's because Ollie's laptop crashed at the end of the record. So he didn't get to press stop on the record that he was doing. And because of that, the file didn't completely save. We had to go to an external company and get them to fix it because we couldn't fix it ourselves. And it cost us quite a bit of money. Now, if you watch today's live stream, you will have seen that Ollie's laptop froze again. And his portion of the stream just sort of stopped. Mine continued. I was able to end the stream and sort of, you know, get the final file. But that, of course, means that Ollie doesn't have the recording of the intro and outro that we did before the start of the stream. So, yeah, there is no intro or outro for this show, really. But I do want to give a special shout out to Harry Iverson. Harry sent us an email that said, "Hey, Luke and Ollie, I just finished listening to the podcast and you read out my email. It put a massive smile on my face hearing Ollie remember my Rusev hay and say it's one of the all-time greats. Well, my birthday is just one day removed from Ollie's, and it's almost like it's some sort of coincidence. Yes, this email is a tad early, but I thought I would send it now to hopefully get a shout-out on Tuesday's show, as there's no podcast on a Monday. And I'll be working, helping keep my region moving on my birthday. Stay swapped and safe, you guys. Love the Geordie bus driver, Harry. P.S. Happy birthday, Ollie. Hope you had a wonderful day, depending on when you read this. And look out for a tweet on Monday, as I'll be sending a picture of my sexy self at work on my birthday. Love you all at WrestleTalk from Harry." And he did, in fact, send us that photograph. So thank you very much for that, Harry. And a happy bloody birthday to you. What else didn't you get from the deleted intro and outro? Oh, I'm watching Breaking Bad for the first time, and I think it's okay. Ollie got a lovely birthday card from the team here at WrestleTalk. He's going to post a picture of that up on the social medias, I believe. And yeah, do you know what? Let's just dive into the show. Hopefully on Thursday, we'll have a proper intro and outro that Ollie's computer won't crash making, and therefore we can actually get a proper podcast out. But for now, here is the Raw review where we're talking about a debuting new star. Here is the show.
We've got a new star on the main roster. It was always most definitely the plan. Austin Theory debuted last night.
Yeah, so this was what we got the report late last week, that Andrade had been pulled from WrestleMania, not because of Steve Corino, as everyone else has been pulled, but because he got a rib injury during the match where we did our video last week where we said, oh my God, a WWE star got knocked out. What we actually missed was there was a different WWE star who got a rib broken. and that person was Andrade. So Andrade was pulled from the match, and they announced that Austin Theory would be replacing him because he was available. You know, they're at the Performance Center. It was very much a case of just like throw a dart. He's available. He'll do.
It really does seem that way. If I was an NXT roster wrestler, I would get the hell out of there. I would go home and wait out the apocalypse with my family at home, not in Florida, because as we saw with, is it Caden Carter later on? If you're around, if you're just hanging out at the Performance Center doing some weights, you're going to get called into job. but with Austin Theory's case, that doesn't seem to be what's going to happen with him. One of the beliefs, which came from Cage Side Seats' rumor section, is that Paul Heyman has seen something in Austin Theory. Theory, as Andrade's replacement, is actually a Heyman choice. And it totally fits with the way Paul Heyman does things. Dio Madden, for example, he was called up from NXT to be a Raw commentator with Heyman's new look commentary team alongside Vic Joseph and Jerry Lawler, which was more of a Vince McMahon direction. And Dio Madden had hardly ever done commentary before. Paul Heyman has always been a big fan of, yeah, I see something in you, and then just chucking them in the deep end, which is a really exciting way to do stuff. And I think, especially in this match, he was in the six-man tag here. He didn't really get a chance to shine. In fact, the most memorable moment was when he was seemingly out of position for that huge Montez Ford dive.
Oh, that crash.
Montez Ford does a flip dive over the top rope to the outside towards Theory, and it's Ford, so you better believe he's going to get an extra 3 meters of height. For whatever reason, Theory is still on his knees, so he doesn't get to catch Ford, and you just hear this almighty clash on the steel ramp.
I thought they put a sound effect on. I thought this is like a post-production sound effect crash and splat, because it was so loud.
Yeah, and you've got to think, well, maybe Ford did that as a spot. If he did, and that's the case, then he's an idiot. Because aren't the shows to pull out those sorts of spots, which honestly do take matches off of your career.
Yeah, we've got to think of that Kofi Kingston when he did it, Saudi Showdown, which was like such a silly spot to take. And yeah, I've got to think that when you look at the replay, it looks like Austin's out of position. And because he doesn't really react like he moved out of the way of it. And it did lead directly to the finish as well. So you've got to think it would have been Ford taking out Theory so that Austin, so that Owens can give the stunner to Garza in the ring to get the win in the six-man tag. But it was interesting at the start of this that Zelina Vega came out to announce that Andrade was injured, you know, as had been reported. But just like she had done with Angel Garza, she has found a new associate. And this associate is, you know, this young rookie. I think he's like 22 years old or something, Austin Theory. And they did play it up like this was an official call-up. This wasn't just, hey, he's a replacement for Andrade. This is a call-up now.
Yeah, yeah. And that is exciting. I thought it actually made Vega look really cool.
Yeah, totally.
It made Vega look like an actual faction leader who isn't just there as a bit of set dressing. She's not just there to interfere on people's behalves. She's actually got a game plan going into all of this. So yeah, I was a big fan of the way that was done. And yeah, it's a shame because he'll just be called up to have a match that is it's an S-word show, the all of WrestleMania. And then you'd think he's not going to be around for a while, because realistically, WWE have only taped up until next Monday's Raw. Then they run out of content. And I think that this whole self-quarantining thing is going to go on until June. Yeah. So, yeah, whatever plans they have for Theory, I don't know if they're still going to be in that mindset come 3 months from now.
Also, it would be fun for us to workshop a tag name for them, because the only reason Angel Garza is also on the main roster is because Andrade got a wellness policy violation and they needed to continue Zelina Vega's feud with Rey. So Garza was on the main roster because Andrade got suspended, and now Theory's on the main roster because Andrade got injured. These two have a good connection. Like, they have but we, they just need like a re, they need a name that reflects that.
Plan B.
Yes. So it's Street Profits versus Plan B at WrestleMania for the tag titles. It's a good job they lost here to really put them over as a tag team contender.
Yeah, they said they were more into building Owens and Rollins off of this. And they totally should be, because this Street Profits Garza Andrade slash Theory match was only announced last Monday. The reason that was announced was because it was meant to be Andrade versus Rey Mysterio. This whole show that we're building towards is scrapped match after scrapped match. And that isn't that out of the ordinary for WWE. Vince McMahon changes his mind a lot, but now it's like it's that plus all of this other stuff that's going on. It's an absolute nightmare. It's a terribly built like show.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that when they run down the WrestleMania card, where you look at it and be like, well, that match isn't happening. That match isn't taking place. That match isn't happening.
Yeah, but to jump over to The Undertaker, which was the part that actually opened the episode, we have a video recap package of AJ Styles' feud with Michelle McCool so far. And then it just goes to The Undertaker, not in the ring. I thought this was a very good bit of staging. It was somewhere backstage, I presume. And it was just The Undertaker looking right into the camera and cutting a promo on Alan Jones, which is AJ Styles' real name.
Or and was it Alad Jones?
Alad Jones.
He was cutting a promo on the Snowman King.
And he sort of puts out that AJ couldn't hang with Undertaker in the Attitude Era days. He said like Stone Cold, The Rock, Booker T. I was like, oh, no, Booker T.
Yeah, he was in TNA, yeah.
He said AJ crossed the line, though, when he brought up Michelle McCool.
Which was a TNA catchphrase.
Yeah, crossed the line. I thought that too. and yeah, it was. But at the end of the day, he'll rest in peace.
Yeah, he did say, Michelle McCool, you're just jealous of her because she does the Styles Clash better than you do. And I gave it what Michelle McCool used to call it. I was like, come on, mate. No one ever used that name. Everyone just said Michelle McCool does the Styles Clash.
Yeah, So I've seen a lot of people really, really like this Undertaker promo. And I did enjoy it. I thought it was the best thing. Yeah, I thought it was the best thing in this feud so far. But that is damning with faint praise a bit, because I don't think this has been a good feud. And I think the central idea, the thesis of AJ wrestling Mark Calloway has made The Undertaker look lame. And it's not something I'm not into this whole approach. But Undertaker effectively cutting an American Badass promo is what he did. He even said the line, I'll make you famous.
Try me, I'll make you famous.
And he's got the bandana and the leather jacket on. But with all that Michelle McCool line, I know it was meant to, you can kayfabe explain it as him trying to get under AJ's skin, but it didn't come off like that. It came off like Undertaker was a bit lame and he was still just, trying to lamely defend his wife, which, you should totally defend your wife, but this was a kind of lame comeback version of that. And then there were a few bits of awkward, clunky WWE scripting that infected this promo. Like, he said the show of shows at one point, and I just thought,
But it's too big for one night, AJ Styles.
Yeah, I did enjoy the promo, but I'm missing whatever everyone else is really on board with.
No, I mean, I really like this promo, and I do agree with you that it does kind of expose some of the lameness of The Undertaker at times. But I think it's kind of an interesting feud, because I think that there's almost a sensible way to take this is that AJ beats Taker at Mania in the Boner match. Like, AJ beats Taker, and then you can build to the rematch of AJ versus Undertaker, and that's when the Phenom comes out. So, like, the Undertaker we get at Mania it's not the American Badass. He's not coming out to roll in on a motorbike or anything like that. He's just coming out as Mark. And
I know your belovedness right here.
And Mark gets beaten, and by Mark getting beaten, that's what, the Phenom then comes out of that to reap your soul, AJ Styles, because that's what AJ really wants. AJ doesn't want to fight Mark. He wants to fight the Phenom. All of that would make complete sense had the Phenom Undertaker not beaten AJ Styles already last month? Like, he's already beaten, like, the dead man has already beaten him. So the story they're telling of, like, I want the dead man is like, well, you got the dead man already and you lost.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good promo, a good installment this week. But overall, I think it's a bit little too late. This is the go home episode or the stay home.
Hey.
Episode.
Oh, hello. That's not lag. That's us going.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So let's do Pledge Hammer Patreon shout outs. Do some plugging of what you can get if you become a Pledge Hammer on Patreon for us.
Well, if you are one of our Pledge Hammers on Patreon, you've had quite the week, because on Monday you got our 3 and a bit hour review, I think it is, of WrestleMania 26, what I would describe as the blandest WrestleMania of all time. Just such an uninteresting show, but an interesting podcast, because we dive into all the Bret and Vince stuff, all the backstage stuff that was happening around that, the arguments that Shawn and Undertaker were having with Vince McMahon about having Jim Ross call their match, and Vince McMahon saying no, absolutely not. There's loads of stuff that we dive into there. Vince McMahon's crazy plan for the Bret Vince match and why the match was structured to be the way that it was. So we got that, and then yesterday, or rather today in fact, we posted up our Wrestle Talk After Dark podcast, which is me, Ollie, and Laurie getting a bit tipsy, we just had a few drinks yesterday, and we answered random questions, talked about Disney Plus, deep thoughts on Star Wars, and then for about 45 minutes,
oh my god,
because we haven't got Big Apple Takedown to read at the moment, we did a Sonic the Hedgehog Choose Your Own Adventure book that was published in 1993. So, you know, it's just after the release of Sonic 2. So it's a very early era of the Sonic canon. And yeah, it was also a bit like, it's a bit D&D, because you have to add stats to things and stuff. And Laurie and Ollie, I could see, got a little bit bored during it, because there was a lot of tunnels, a lot of lefts, a lot of rights.
But Luke was having fun, and I like that. That's what got me through. I was like, I'm gonna stick this out because Luke's having fun, and that makes me happy. But thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers who just got in before the end of March. Listening to Big Apple Takedown, maybe not. Dandy Spruce. Woo.
Yes. Joseph Starsky and McCutcheon.
Thank you very much.
Lovely stuff.
This is a great name here. Joe. Yes.
Yes, very nice. Well, some of my favorites, the power couple, Stephen and Giovanna.
Power couple, super hot.
Oh, sorry, I'm not looking at the screen. 1 second. Where are you? Oh, it's this hand.
Other
here.
Side. Thank you, Stephen and Giovanna.
Yeah, that was terrible from me.
And My Immortal is my favorite song, Mashy. Thank you.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad to hear name. That.
Maurice Harth, Vince will bury him soon enough.
Well, I mean, going by, you know, all the other Heyman ideas, yeah, he probably will, because, you know, he might get Cedric'd, he might get ricocheted, he might get Dio maddened, you know, just into oblivion.
Well, I think if we, you know, if we lay out all the Paul Heyman guys, so Drew McIntyre did well, Buddy Murphy did well. I think Aleister Black is still hanging in there. That you know, those guys are good, but you know, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, you know, it's there's Dio Madden. So Austin Theory, looking at that, I don't know which way he could go.
Could go either way.
Just don't know, do you? James Williams, what's up with Zelina and the letter A? Andrade, Angel, and now Austin.
Hey, man, that's how you get the call up these days with Zelina Vega. Have a name that begins with A.
Do you think she's just got a register? when she says, I'm looking, you know, I'm looking for fresh free agents all the time. What she's actually doing is she's gone onto WWE's roster page on Wikipedia.
Yeah, skipped over Aaron A. Aronson, and it's gone to Andrade, and then to Angel Garza.
Alberto Del Rio?
Could be. Oh, well, he did say that.
According to him.
Okay, according to Andrade, he's back in the company in the summer.
Yeah. Not apparently according to WWE. Vince sees Alberto Del Rio in the CM Punk category of never again. Yeah. The bad one, Ryan B. Bad, between the Taker AJ and Edge Orton feuds, this is the mania of breaking kayfabe.
I'm not sure about the Edge and Orton one.
Like, yeah, that's
very much within kayfabe. Yeah.
Yeah. Ronnie Jones, will you be doing the WrestleMania live stream reactions? Yes, we will.
Yes, so because Ollie is breaking his back at the moment, creating all of the content, he's, you know, working 6 days a week to get this done. Ollie won't be a part of the live streams because he will need it. He'll be needed to do the green screen review that will come the following day. So Ollie is going to be breaking his back to continue making that great content. So the live stream on night one will be me and Laurie, and then me and Adam will do the podcast review. And then on night two, it will be me, Laurie, and Pete doing the live reactions, with me and Adam doing the podcast review and Ollie doing all of the green screen review stuff, which is going to be really, really cool. It's really exciting. And yeah, Adam was going to be part of the live stream reactions, but he decided that their apartment is too small and his girlfriend would like to sleep. Him presenting a video throughout the night is not going to be a conducive way for her to get sleep, which I think is completely fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. And just this quick one before we get into the rest of the review. Raphael C, I just have to say, everyone needs to watch No Rolls Barred. It's the best storytelling I've seen in years. Can't wait for season two. I had the support on Patreon. Thank you, Raphael.
Thank you so, so much. Yeah, enjoy all the bonus content that's gone up over there. And if you're listening to this on the podcast version and you're like, oh, well, I haven't got time for a 2 hour long video, it's okay, folks. There's a podcast version of the show as well that's got the same intros and outros that the WrestleTalk podcast has got as well. So it's more bonus content for everyone.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. We're super proud of it. We will get to the rest of your stuff. The bad one, Ryan B. Bad, has gotten in to clarify his comment. During Edge's promo, he called himself Adam Copeland.
But that's been done plenty of times before. I think that, yeah, I don't think that's not a new thing.
Mm.
Let's get on with the actual episode of Raw. So it started off with that AJ, the Undertaker promo on AJ, and then Optimus Lynch turned up.
Yes, very, very good. She arrived in this sort of big truck cab thing that's got a big picture of her face and her hair's sort of going into the flames. It was a pretty cool look. Definitely was meant to be her WrestleMania entrance.
Oh, yeah, that's confirmed now. Yeah,
oh, is it really?
Came out. Yeah, yeah, it was reported that was meant to be. Which is such a shame. That's such a cool idea. It would have looked awesome.
Yeah, that pulling into the arena would have been so cool.
And then Becky Prime came out onto the stage part of the building and cut a promo about her winning the belt. And then we got in its entirety, Ronda versus Becky versus Charlotte. From WrestleMania last year. I was really curious about what they were going to play at the end. And they still played the exact same finish of Ronda's shoulders being up with the shot like right there.
And Corey Graves going like, Ronda's shoulders were up. She's got a claim that she didn't lose.
Yeah, so but seeing that, it is a bit of a shame that that hasn't been a part of Shayna Baszler's motivation.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of Becky's promo work is about the friendship between Baszler and Ronda, but none of Baszler's promos are, which I think is by design, because I think it's meant to be, it's Shayna saying like, look, I'm more than just being Ronda's mate and you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're feuding with Ronda. I'm feuding with you. Like, you know, and it, so I think that probably could have been played up a little bit more. But I think it's been interesting that they have never mentioned the fact that Ronda's shoulders were up and she shouldn't have lost the title.
Yeah, I just think because this feud hasn't connected with me, and I think I'm not speaking out of turn when I don't think it's connected with a lot of people. It just hasn't. And I don't know whether that's Becky's character being a bit inconsistent at times or whether it's because the meat of the story just hasn't worked the way it should have done. But if you sort of give Shayna Baszler this, but you're not the rightful champion, I think that could be a really interesting layer to have added to it, which might have worked.
No, I completely agree. I think it has been Becky's inconsistent character, I think, has been part of the problem of this story. And the fact that it's sort of been told out of order a little bit. But I'm still looking forward to the match.
Yeah. So we come back to the arena and Shayna Baszler attacks Becky from behind, chokes her out, just like Becky did last week with that chair shot from the darkness. And I thought the camera work was really good here. They did essentially cut around it a bit more like a scene in a TV show as opposed to a, you know, something live unfolding, more sports based.
Yeah. And then she did the sort of like powerbomb thing, swinging her into the announcer's table, which looked really effective.
Then we got Aleister Black squashing a guy called Jason Cade. I do not know where they're getting these people. And it was just to promote Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley, which is a WrestleMania match I thought wasn't going to happen because Bobby went to South Africa recently to promote a WWE tour there that's obviously since been postponed. And one of the rules, apparently, was you cannot wrestle for WWE if you've recently been overseas or someone you know as you've been in contact with has been overseas, and Bobby has. So I'm surprised that this match is presumably happening.
Well, so I mean, we've done our predictions video for WrestleMania. We've done the record for it, which will be going up tomorrow, I think. And my prediction in that is that after Corbin has been beaten by Mojo Rawley with the help of the Gronk, Aleister Black is going to lay out a open challenge. And Corbin is going to come out to accept that open challenge. Quick black mass, and Corbin loses again. Because, you know, I think that would be fun stuff for Corbin to do as the heel that no one likes. You know, it's fun. Well, yeah, okay, Bunny ears. Yeah, Bucky O'Hare ears. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll see. After that, we got a recap of Seth's promo from last week. Brilliant promo.
Brilliant promo.
Really, really good. And that six-man tag where Austin Theory debuted. It was good stuff. Yeah, Seth Rollins told quite an interesting story where he was essentially using Garza and Theory as fodder, as Operation Human Shield against Kevin Owens. He was always tagging out so he didn't get stuck in the ring with KO. And that is an interesting narrative, really, for their feud. You know, KO is saying, I'm NXT. Everyone in the Performance Center kind of resents you. And here's Seth exploiting these two guys who have only recently come up from NXT to his advantage. So I they didn't really play into that, but I thought that the subtext was very good.
Yeah, a decent little match. You know, it's standard six-man stuff of, like, you know, Ford gets worked. Like, the babyfaces run wild. Ford gets worked over. Dawkins gets the hot tag. He gets worked over. Owens gets the hot tag. Go to the end with the schmoz. And Owens picks up the win. But as he's pinning Garza, once the pin has been counted, Rollins stomps him for his troubles. And then after we got a promo for the Big Show show, which we'll talk about in a second, Owens then cut a promo himself saying that Rollins has kicked some sense into him and said that the Performance Center was built despite Seth Rollins. Rollins was a nightmare to deal with in FCW and called him an arrogant dip S-word.
Yeah.
Someone's been watching Dynamite.
that whole bit, I didn't really, I've never heard that story. That Seth Rollins was like that?
I think I'm pretty sure I remember hearing some stories that there were some of the indie guys went into places like FCW and NXT in its early days thinking they already knew everything because, you know, been working in the indie scene for 10 years. But what WWE thought was like, no, you know how to work the indies. You don't know how to work the WWE style, which is what you then are taught, you know, you're taught to learn. So I wonder if that's what they mean. You know, it's that Seth went in there being like, I'm a former Ring of Honor champion. You know, I was having hour-long matches with Roderick Strong. I already know how to do a wrestle. And WWE were like, yeah, but do you know where the hard cam is? And so, yeah, and I imagine if you go in there thinking you do know everything because you have wrestled hour-long matches in front of 10 people, then WWE are going to think that you're a bit arrogant.
Yeah, so I think that's where my problem with that part of the content, I'm being super biggie here, came from. And that's what WWE, in my view, very incorrectly thinks. Mm. And to hear that come through Kevin Owens' mouth jarred with me. I think Seth's promo was so good last week because I think he's got a very good case. Mm. And the idea that the Performance Center, NXT, that has come from him, really, and his work. He paved the way for all those opportunities to be made for other people. So when Kevin Owens comes back and tries to undermine that, he needs a hell of an argument. And he didn't convince me. So I'm sort of more on the Seth Rollins side. What I really liked, though, is when Kevin Owens started picking apart Seth Rollins' WrestleMania record and saying, yeah, but you helped, that these guys helped you to win that one. He used underhand tactics for this one. And he qualified. He was like, look, I've done the same thing. But what I'm saying is that this Saturday, so it's a night one match, this Saturday, none of that matters. It's just me versus you. And I thought that was a much better sell of the match.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that stuff. Watch it be on Sunday night now as well. And I was thinking about them sort of doing their WrestleMania things, you know, like Seth is calling himself Mr. WrestleMania, you know, saying that he's got this sort of like great WrestleMania record. I suddenly thought that would have been a way to improve the AJ storyline as well, because apart from his first WrestleMania, I think AJ is unbeaten at Mania because he quite stupidly lost to Jericho on his first WrestleMania, which I think was a completely idiotic decision to make. If you had gone the right direction with that one and had AJ unbeaten, he could have then used that as like, I've got my own WrestleMania streak. So now I'm going up against The Undertaker, the king of the WrestleMania streak. That might also help the feud slightly. But do you want to talk about the Big Show show?
Yes, 100% yes.
This looks like it was, I'm pretty sure this had been recorded in 1995 and then has just been like locked in a time capsule and Netflix uncovered it. And we're like, oh my God, the Big Show made a sitcom in 1995. Let's air it now.
It's the Southpaw Wrestling of Netflix. You know, what do they call it? One camera shoots. No, multi-cam shoots. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to watch it. And it's going to be crap. And my lady partner's going to hate it. But I'm going to watch it.
Do you think that me and Adam should work on like 10 things we learned from the Big Show show?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's going to be a big hitter. 10 yeah. funniest moments, 10 yeah. backstage stories, 10 botches, you know, how the Montreal Screwjob created the Big Show show, all the stuff.
Yeah.
Why Big Show should turn heel on the Big Show show.
Real reason for the Big Show show. Yeah.
Yellow arrow, just point at his egghead. After that, we got a Randy Orton and Edge video recap package. Excellent video packages on this show, as per usual. And it cuts to Edge backstage. Quite an intimate area. And he talks about how he's a junkie for this. He loves wrestling. He says that his definition of grit is different to Randy's. He would have turned down Evolution because grit to him is proving himself on his own terms. And the bit I liked most, Randy is jealous of Edge. He doesn't love Edge. He's jealous of Edge's passion.
I particularly love the line, "You're okay with being okay." I thought that was a really good line because they've always said that's the about Randy Orton is that he should be the best wrestler in this entire planet, but he chooses not to because he's not motivated. Like Triple H has said it in you know, very candid interviews saying like Randy Orton should be way better than he is. And he's really good, but he should be so much better, but he doesn't want to he never pushes himself. And that's Edge's line here. You're just okay with being just okay.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought this was probably the second best promo on the show, on a show of very good promos.
Yeah, my other favorite line from that is that I make Randy Orton better. And the last time he was this good, the last time Randy Orton was this good was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is, I love that line of just, you know, putting it into Randy's head. It's like, you have been coasting for the last 9 years because I've not been here to make you better. Oh, that was really, really good stuff.
I've just been told, breaking news, the Quizzlemania live stream is set up and is available to click and see the thumbnail. I'm going to spam it in the comments.
Amazing.
Put it in here. Here is Quizzlemania. So that is tomorrow. At 9 p.m. we've got it for currently. April 1st, April Fool's Day. It looks like we've just put up an April Fool's joke in advance. Excellent thumbnail. My hair's thinning so bad. After that video, that Edge promo, we got Asuka versus Kayden Carter in a squash match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
This was an NXT cameo, not an NXT call-up like Austin Theory. And yeah, Asuka just beat her very quickly, as she should have done, really, and cut an awesome promo in Japanese. No idea what she was saying, but she's so animated about it.
Yeah, so great. Absolutely loved her promo.
Rhea Ripley was shown turning up to the Performance Center earlier today. She's walking along outside, and then this giant leg of Charlotte Flair just swooped in from the corner of the shot and kicked her into sort of a garage door. And I just thought, what? How did she sneak up on her?
Yeah, Charlotte, I don't know how that happened.
Charlotte's like 8 feet tall with heels on. She'll be awkwardly running along the tarmac. There is no cover. Rhea Ripley didn't even have sunglasses on.
No, Charlotte did attack her from out of nowhere in broad daylight in front of her.
This was one of those segments that's good on paper, but in execution is dumb. And it may be, it's, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world by a long shot. But I ended this being like, well, that was stupid.
Yeah.
When everything else on this show made me want to see a match. So yeah, I did think this was a big failure.
Particularly with Rhea Ripley. Then like Charlotte's like, I'll see you at WrestleMania. And Rhea Ripley's like, yeah, you will. Like, good comeback, mate.
Yeah, I wish I mean, I saw you just then because it's open terrain here.
Yeah. Next time we meet, I will be there.
Yeah. Then we got Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio from last year's Survivor Series. It was fun.
Genuinely forgot all this happened. with Mini Walter there getting involved. I did forget about all of this.
Because I had a joke in my video earlier where I was like, when I was writing it, I said, yeah, because Cain Velasquez got hit so hard, he turned into Dominic, or Dominic got hit. So, and I was like, wait, what came first? So I had to remember the whole sequence of events. And actually Survivor Series was the end of all that.
Yeah.
Crown Jewel had already happened.
Because Ray was beating him up with the lightsaber.
Yeah. Then they ran down the WrestleMania card, including Roman Reigns versus Goldberg, a match that both Roman Reigns and Triple H have publicly admitted isn't happening.
Now, to WWE's credit, or to play into WWE's hand here, I'm going to Pritchard this ever so slightly. They have obviously pre-recorded something that's going to air on SmackDown this Friday because they've advertised the face-to-face. So they've clearly already taped something. And in that segment, that's when it becomes Goldberg versus Braun Strowman. So you can't say that that match is not happening before that segment takes place. Like, you know, I think in that sort of like kayfabe world, you can't unannounce the match because you haven't had the angle yet where the match gets cancelled. Probably should have done that segment on last Friday's show, but you know, who am I to talk about pre-taped shows? So I, you know, to defend WWE ever so slightly, I took completely Pritchard the situation. But it is very interesting as well, on that note, that I, and you might be able to correct me on this, but whenever the commentators were talking about WrestleMania, they were telling people to contact their pay-per-view providers before plugging the network. Now, to my memory and my recollection, it's always been about the network because 4 years ago, they decided that the network was the only way forward. And if you ordered via pay-per-view, you were dumb. Like Michael Cole and the other commentators would literally tell you on TV, if you've ordered this on pay-per-view, you're stupid because you can get on the network for way cheaper. But this show was a lot of contact your cable provider, contact your pay-per-view provider to get WrestleMania, which is when I started to feel a bit uneasy about them saying, you will see Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. Because I'm like, well, you, if you order this on pay-per-view now on the strength of that match, and you're not going to get that match with WWE knowing they're not going to present that match, that's quite underhanded.
Yeah, it is a bad situation, you know, outside of WWE's control. So there is sympathy there. But I, you know, when stuff like this happens, freaking just come out and admit it and stop promoting the show, the thing that's not going to happen. Like, yeah, sure. It's not going to, you might slightly puncture the kayfabe universe, but you've spent the last month doing that with The Undertaker's character anyway. So, yeah. And I think if ever people were going to understand, now they will. I think WrestleMania has been an absolute disaster. I think it's going to be rubbish. And I think in the long run, we're going to look back at this as a very poorly handled situation.
Yeah.
The main event of the show was Brock Lesnar standing right on the sort of ropes facing a hard cam and Paul Heyman standing slightly behind him, cutting an awesome promo where he just, you know, he talked up Drew McIntyre and the whole roster and loads of other people as well. It's just a masterstroke of getting people over, really.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Like, he put Drew over massively, but then, you know, also put over Brock Lesnar. A really, really solid ending, you know, to the show, and a really solid go-home promo from Heyman. I particularly love the line when he said, you know, look back at the last few go-home shows before WrestleMania. It's always Brock Lesnar. And you know what? Next year, it will be Brock Lesnar again as your WWE champion, which I think is also a bit of a damning indictment of WWE's booking. But you know, I thought it was a really, really solid promo. No Drew on this show, because I'm assuming, you know, he was over in Scotland filming the thing with BT Sports, so couldn't be here for the show itself.
Yeah, he was advertised, though. So, yeah, so this seems to be a weird thing. I don't know what would have been better, to be honest. My gut tells me that having Drew there would have been a better angle. Mm-hmm. I totally get why you wouldn't have done that, though, if there were travel issues. And maybe having him away made this Heyman promo work better. I don't know. But what was interesting with that Brock Lesnar standing here this time next year line was that Paul Heyman did use the super effective, this is a spoiler. It's not just a spoiler. It's like a goddamn guarantee. I promise you, this time next year, Brock Lesnar will be standing here as the champion again, heading into WrestleMania. But he said it in a way that made it also sound like he was talking about Brock beating Drew at this weekend. So yeah. It was a brilliant sleight of hand because he never said the spoiler part about Brock beating Drew, because I think Drew's winning.
Yeah, and I think you could probably make a very good guess that Brock will be champion come next this time next year, because Brock is always just the champion around this time, it would appear.
And if Paul is thinking that far in advance, I think that's a great idea. If this time next year he can stand there and say, I promised you this last year, and he's champion now, and then Brock can put someone else over at WrestleMania. I don't know, maybe Goldberg. We'll have to find out. But I thought this was an absolutely terrific promo on a show of very excellent promos.
This whole situation has shown that WWE have got incredibly strong promos. They've just never really let people do them because they have heavily scripted them over the, you know, last 10, 15 years or whatever it is. And I think that this has shown that you don't need to heavily script people. You can just give them a microphone. They're all excellent promos and they can all cut excellence. You know, they can do great promos. And it's really, it's been shown over the last couple of weeks that it's one of their strongest suits. And if they can continue this after all of this is over, then they might be onto a bit of a winning formula here, because they're doing a lot of really good wrestling on this show. So, you know, they were up until the empty arena stuff. They can combine that with great in-ring promos as well and great backstage segments. Raw and SmackDown will be on fire again.
Oh my God. If the last few weeks of shows had a hot audience with good in-ring action, that it's amazing. They're probably 4 to 5 out of 5 shows. I mean, last week's I gave 4 out of 5 without an audience. Yeah. I think WWE are putting on a very good product right now. It's just a shame that it's going to climax in this disaster of a 2-day event. Because it's a format that can only really sustain great wrestling promos and talking. I pose this question to you, Luke. Do you think this was a better go home show for WrestleMania for Raw than what they might have had in their heads if the world wasn't currently ending? Because they have got a terrible track record of WrestleMania go home Raws.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember the tug of war between Brock and Roman? Ollie was shaking his head there for podcast listeners. I think I do agree with you on that one. I think it probably was, because there's no fluff in there. Like, you know, if you have 3 hours to fill and you're not using that, you know, because the first hour was effectively taken up with the WrestleMania main event from last year, and you had the Brock versus Rey match from Survivor Series. You're sort of filling out time with those two things. If you didn't have those things to be filled out with, you'd have just had, I don't know, Eric Rowan with a spider or, you know, doing what have you. So there probably would have been more fluff on the show. As it was, that was just very tightly focused on the matches they were looking to promote for Mania come Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, so William Tallman says Garza Theory, Team V.
Team 5, yes, maybe Fit Garza Theory Team? Just call it 5V? I don't know. Oh, because of Vega, maybe? I've just seen that everyone was also saying in the chat that we should also add Aleister Black to Zelina Vega's people she goes after.
You're right.
The real-life husband of Zelina Vega.
Darren Battery thinks Drew is going to win, isn't he?
He's my pick.
He's my pick as well. Chaotic Punk, if you could take away 3 matches from the Mania card and replace them with any 3 matches of your choice, what would those matches be?
Well, I would switch Reigns versus Goldberg and Fiend versus Cena around. So it would be Cena versus Fiend for the title and Goldberg versus Reigns, not for the title. And then I would probably get rid of about 8 other matches just to shorten the show.
Yes, yes, I agree. I just have to do a quick bit of checking because Joseph Oliveira has said that WrestleMania is showing up on Fight TV.
Say what?
Oh, I just went to go check it. What they've got is they've got the pre-show. The first night kickoff show is on there. But I don't know if like the full WrestleMania show is available to be ordered from it. No, I don't want notifications. Fight TV.
How bizarre.
So you keep reading. I'm going to do a bit more digging around on this.
Yeah, sure. Chaotic Punk. If you could take... Oh, that's sorry. That's the one we just done. Jose Oliveira is WrestleMania
there it is.
Showing up on
you
Fight
can,
TV.
You can buy, night one for $35. Night two for $35, or the weekend package for $60.
Well, we did do a lot of videos about a month or two ago about how it seemed WWE were abandoning the network.
And but that was clickbait, Ollie. That was clickbait.
And they were either going to move back to a more pay-per-view based model or selling their shows to TV networks or other streaming services. And yeah, I mean, that's the idea was Vince was going to have a big announcement to make before the end of Q1, which is today, March 31st. And it hasn't happened. So yeah, seems like they're scrambling.
Yeah, could be.
Demonic the Ghost. Black guys pick by Heyman, get buried by Vince. I mean, I don't know what you're suggesting there. I'd have to look at the people who were pushed and the people who weren't pushed more closely to see if there was any correlation with race.
Anshu says, do you guys really think this WrestleMania is going to be remembered forever? In spite of all of its problems in the world, WWE are still putting on a show for the universe. They need to be praised for it. I know this WrestleMania is weird, but I'm still excited about it.
I think it will be remembered in the same way as WrestleMania 2 was remembered, where people go, huh, it was recorded from 3 different locations. That's crazy. Why did they do that? And I think people will look back on WrestleMania 36 and go, my God, they should have just postponed it because damn, wasn't that actually very dangerous and ultimately made a weird, rubbish, wet fart of a card.
Yeah, I agree. I think people are going to look back on this in 10 years as a sort of very interesting curio being like, wow, can you believe that they did that? It's almost in the same way where they'll be like, man, can you believe they still did Over the Edge after Owen died? Matthew Robinson says, gotta love Undertaker's promo. It was badass, not just an entrance. Hope you are all staying safe from Steve Corino.
Thank you, Matthew Robinson. You too.
The bad one, Ryan B. Bad. See, I knew I was right when I called Golden Joe the best heel in wrestling. Poor Papa, Platinum Pete.
I would disagree that Golden Joe turned heel. go and check out No Rolls Barred, folks. It's open for interpretation, of course, but Golden Joe's a babyface, my friend.
Canamil Proper Bill says, don't you think TV title is an outdated concept?
No, not at all.
If anything,
I like
it's more relevant now.
Yeah,
TV, more money in TV now.
So the AEW have called their TV title the TNT title. I think it's a brilliant idea. What a way to endear yourselves to the people who sign your checks, as opposed to what WWE do, which is routinely mug them off.
We've also got Brandon says, just like the other guy said, I subscribed to No Rolls Barred because of it. Wanted that early access for the Go Home show and the Colossal Tussle. I'm assuming he is someone who's also backed us on Patreon. What a smart, smart man.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Shield with a No Rolls Barred question said, how do you know Tom and Lolo from No Rolls Barred?
So Tom is a friend of Adam's. I think they've known each other for decades, long-running friends. And Lolo, she'd done wrestling stuff before with Pro Wrestling Eve, or Eve Wright, Girls of Wrestling Girl. We were aware of her from that. We asked if she wanted to do a few test sessions with us. She did. She was amazing, which was so nice. Like, she was the first person we sort of approached outside of our little group. And yeah, what a first win.
I know, right? What an absolute win that was. She's so, so funny. And lastly, from Tomo, Rainmaker.
It's not getting old.
And some last minute super chats in. Matthew Robinson said, Becky and Shayna's match is looking like it will actually have some heat. I think it may work well in front of a crowdless arena.
I don't know. But Becky's a very good actor, so maybe she can bring some trash talking and stuff like that to the performance. I've got low expectations, really, for that match.
Chaotic Punk, how would you book an AEW invasion of WWE? Crikey's.
It's a big question.
That's a big old question. Metal Bear, I like the promos on the show. By far the best part of WWE since the Steve Corino outbreak. Stay safe, lads.
Sorry, just so we do actually slightly answer Chaotic Punk's question. I think that the way to do it would be to base it around Cody and Triple H. I think that's the feud you play into.
Yeah.
We've also had Patel Ron 6, a donation with no message. Thank you very much.
A few other super chats have come in. Matthew Robinson, if I have to hear Too Big for One Night one more time, I might have to self quarantine from WWE.
Yeah.
Start Recording said, who would you like Samoa Joe to feud with when he returns? Also, I think Black should have a feud with Rollins or Andrade after WrestleMania.
Samoa Joe. I would like to see Samoa Joe Drew McIntyre, actually. Mm.
Did you see they released the video where Samoa Joe got that concussion?
Oh my God, it's insane, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. And Benny Sato is up in the chat to say money for the boys. And over on Streamlabs, Write Something Funny has said, I don't know about you guys, but I feel the lack of Drew on the show has really slowed down his momentum, so much so that I don't think he's going to win at a WrestleMania that is too big for one night. I'm bracing myself for disappointment.
Oh, right. So you think Drew's not going to win?
That's what they're saying here. And thank you to Jobber JJ, who's just donated with no message.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this stream. And remember, go over to Parts Funknown. Go over to Parts Funknown. I'm going to spam the link. Some more super chats are coming in. You seeing those?
Yeah, Jose Vasquez said, what is the law to work for WWE for free agents?
Being able to work for the biggest wrestling promotion in the world and guaranteed money.
There you go. And can you get to the last one?
Yeah, Injection says, do you think it would be interesting to see wrestlers trying to win the match instead of being booked to win? Hashtag WrestleCenter36. You mean like in a shoot capacity?
I think they mean in a shoot capacity, yes. And crikey, another super chat has come in as well. So answer that question.
Oh, I was just going to say to Injection, that has been done. It was one of the worst ideas in wrestling history. It's called Brawl for All. It's in the late 90s. Good God. Shane Gensler has just gotten in as well. Don't feel like he's badass taker. This is realistic dead man. I actually love it. Reminding me more of Ministry, greater than badass Undertaker. Hopefully at WrestleMania he's more goth than ever. Coffin emoji, skull emoji.
I like the fact that we're going with this is realistic dead man. It reminds me of the Ministry of Darkness.
And Matthew Robinson, hashtag we're all junkies. I don't know what that means.
Thank you all so much for listening to this podcast. We will be back on Thursday with the AEW review and then the magazine show on the Friday, the SmackDown review on the Saturday. In fact, it's going to be, a very, very busy week is coming up because, yeah, we've got AEW on Thursday, we've got the magazine show on Friday. On Saturday, we have got the SmackDown review. Then on Sunday, we're going to have night one of WrestleMania review. That's going to be by me and Adam. And the same thing will happen on Monday. That will be WrestleMania Night 2 will be reviewed. And then on Monday, it will be the regular Raw review, which does mean we're probably not going to put out a self-quarantine bonus episode because, you know, there's all that WrestleMania stuff going on. But I hope you've enjoyed these self-quarantine bonuses. Let me know. Get in touch. Luke@WrestleTalk.com. Let me know if there's any pay-per-views from our archives that you would like to see us put out, you know, because we're all in this together. Stay safe, wash your hands, take care, I love you, goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.